All right. Greetings, everyone. You know what, sports fans? I've been thinking of maybe creating a separate channel, YouTube channel, for my videos in English. You know, this current channel is basically my sermons delivered in Russian, with some, you know, of late videos in English, done in English. Of course, I'm in English. I'm not a native English speaker, so my apologies and kudos for all my English-speaking viewers that they have to bear up with my English. Sometimes I mispronounce words and so on. So, you know, you got to understand that I'm a Russian dude trying to communicate in English sometimes. Well, to the matter at hand, I've been thinking of creating kind of new series and kind of just things that you think about. I wanted to, you know, name this new series as a fruitful thought, just, you know, kind of theological thoughts, not exhaustive treatments by no means of any subject, not long sermons, but kind of videos that would have hopefully something to chew on. You know, figuratively speaking. And, or maybe gospel nuggets. Maybe this is how I'm gonna title those. Just gospel nuggets. And I wanna do the same for my Russian speaking audience as well. Just sharing with you guys, my thoughts, my vision, what I think about, and just, and basically, it's biblical studies and theology stuff that is real of interest for us who, love God's word and love the gospel. Anyway, so the very first message in this series, hopefully, God willing, is about the law of non-contradiction or basic presuppositions or basic principles of Bible study and hermeneutics. Oh, these are huge topics. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, pretty serious stuff. But hopefully, I'll be able to show what I mean and why it's that foundation, why it's so basic for our correct understanding. It's very crucial that we read the Bible and understand it. Without understanding, it's just words and statements. Okay, my basic premise for this short video is that when we read the Bible, we need to understand that the message is coherent. And for the message to be coherent, it needs to be composed, created by somebody who's also consistent and logical. And of course we know that, and I don't want to insult anyone's intelligence. Those who are viewing, especially from the Sovereign Grace camp and Reformed people, of course, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, says John 1:1. And of course we'll know that in the Greek it's the Word that is translated as Word in our versions is Logos. So in the beginning was the Logos, and Logos was with God, and Logos was God. And Logos basically, a very, kind of complex, very, meaty word, which communicates design, purpose, thought, and even order. So, and that's readily understood. God is not a God of chaos, but a God of peace, of order. So he orders things, and he is rational. If we have reason, well, it stands to reason that he who created us is also a reasonable being, and that to an infinite measure, you know, God is all wise. He purposes things of all eternity, and he fulfills his counsel, and his word stands to all generations, and all of those passages. But I want to go to one specific passage to illustrate what I mean by, you know, law of non-contradiction and why it's absolutely essential in all of our Bible studies. Okay, let's go to Romans 11:6. Okay. Let's read Romans 5:6 for a little context. Even so then, at this present time, also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, verse 6, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Here you have an explicit illustration, I mean, as broad as can possibly be, of this principle spelled out for us in Scripture itself. That, what is the law of contradiction? Sometimes, in, you know, in basic formal logic, there are, you know, foundational principles of non-contradiction. So for statement to mean something, it must also not mean something. And A excludes B. If something is A, then it's not B. If it's B, it's not A. It cannot be A and B at the same time and in the same sentence. So there's a, if it's something like here, of grace, then manifestly it's not of works. If it's of works, then it's not of grace. And this is what it says explicitly. Now, I know that this verse is kind of truncated and chopped off by a critical version. So the latter part of verse 6 does not exist in the critical and modern versions. But I don't care. I'm a textus receptus guy. I believe that Scripture has been preserved in all generations, and I don't believe that we have to wait on some liberal, unbelieving German scholars to tell us what Scriptures actually are and how it's all been wrong and just filled with the scribal glosses, and we had corrupted Bibles before they came along. So I don't trust that, but this is a side road. So as it stands now, bear it with me. I'm, you know, as it appears in the King James Version of the Bible, it says again, if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. See, it says it's actually, it's not so much the law of non-contradiction as it's emphasizing, but the law of excluded middle. Okay, so if it's something, that is also not something else, and there are things that are kind of very explicitly emphasized as opposites, as something that exclude each other. So then, so that when the Bible says it is by grace that you've been saved, Ephesians 2:8, it means that not of works. In fact, it says in that very same passage that lest any man should boast, that not of yourselves. So the Bible kind of goes out of its way to emphasize that if, for instance, and this is basic for all human communication, and even God cannot communicate to us if it's not logical, okay? If Scripture says that God is light, in order for this statement to mean something, it must also not mean something. If God says that God is light, or Scripture says that God is light, and it actually says that in Him is no darkness at all, it cannot mean that God is also darkness, and that He's also 50 shades of gray, and all things in between. Our speech is intelligible. You know, when we communicate stuff, and what we say, what I'm saying to you, only makes sense, or any sense, if my words mean something and they also do not mean something. So if I say that, for instance, that logic is foundational, I'm also saying that logic is not peripheral, that logic is not optional. So every statement, every proposition implies a denial of the opposite. So God is light implies that he is not darkness. In the Bible, knowing our weakness after the flesh, that we're frail, that we're not very smart, it even spells it for us. That's why Calvin's, you know, called Bible as the God's listening to us. You know, kind of he's trying to make things easier for us in Scripture, but not things are equally easy in the Bible. But if we have the grace of the Holy Spirit, if our eyes be open to the truth, we can discern. And so Scripture is clear in its propositions. That's what I'm saying. And this principle of non-contradiction, excluded middle, and everything else that you find in logic, those things are so fundamental. You don't even have to go to secular textbooks on logic. The logic is here right in front of us in the Bible. It shows us. So if it is A, then it's not B, or otherwise it would not have been A in the first place. So, and maybe just as important as this, you know, foundational talk about logic, that logic is important, that God, Logos, is eternal logic, and so on, and that his thinking is logical, it cannot be illogical, and so on, that just as foundational is that in our practical application of this rule or principle is that grace in this passage, even in Romans 11:6, is supreme in our understanding of all gospel passages or anything that the Bible says about our salvation. You know, sometimes Armenians and everybody else who kind of have a very misty way of thinking, they will accuse Calvinists of being too logical. You know, you guys are too logical. You want to make all ends meet and so forth. You want to create a very neat system and so forth. And you do a good job, but the Bible is not a systematic theology book, so you got to take it literally. What it says that. So in one passage, if it says that not willing for any should perish, it must mean just he's not willing that anybody should perish. Or even though that same God is spoken of as actually willing to pardon some, you don't need to reconcile or try to harmonize them. They just take them as they are and all this pseudo-pious talk leads in practice to basically denial of everything that Romans 9 says in opposition to their Armenian reading of other, you know, 1 Timothy 2:4 and in other places where it talks that of all men and so on. So what I'm saying is that if you have such an explicit statement as Romans 11:6, where it leaves no room for any interpretation other than what it is. See, if you read such an explicit statement, which is actually, it's a proposition. Not all things that the Bible says are necessarily propositions you have to draw on, but you have statements like this. If by grace, that is not, no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So there's no mixture, okay? These things, works and grace, are so set apart in contradistinction to mutual exclusion, okay? Here you have the excluded middle, that they cannot be. So every time that you encounter a verse which might appear that it could be interpreted to mean that, well, it's still according to works that you're going to be judged, and that the believers will be judged by their works and so forth. You must remember that Logos cannot contradict himself, what he says, and that the Holy Spirit is not divided, so that you have hermeneutical, interpretive principles engraved in the Bible. And there are some statements that are so explicit. From those statements, we derive principles like sola gratia, by grace alone. So those things that grace alone, solus Christus, Christ alone, through faith alone, they become kind of the foundational grid, the presuppositions that we, through them, we interpret everything else that we see in the Bible, in order for the Bible to actually make sense and be a consistent message. And we'll believe it is consistent. So, because God himself is consistent. So, I don't know if I have succeeded in removing all obstacles in the way of understanding the Bible. but at least, I wanted to start off. And this is just something, again, a food for thought, a gospel nugget. It kind of opens the way for everything else that we do and say, that God is logical. Scripture is logical. We can reason from scriptures, and we can defend our faith and our hope that we are saved by grace alone, so that God alone gets all the glory for so great a salvation. So that's just that at this point, and have a good day. God bless you all.